as Steve mentioned, it is a kind of special Sunday. Not only is it sort of the Sunday, we've got the January holidays out of the road, and now we're sort of back into the business. Schools are back, kids' church is back, and all of that. It just seems like an appropriate time for us to consider what would be an appropriate focus to us for us to have this year. Now, you would have got a handout that you would have received there. Now, I'm going to touch on that a little bit later, so I just hope if you haven't got one of those handouts titled Launch Sunday, you just might want to zip out to the foyer. There should be some spare ones out there already. Now, if you worship regularly with us here, you would have noticed that throughout the second half of 2021, and particularly towards the end as we sort of opened up again from our lockdown and were able to meet together regularly, we undertook a sermon series called Acts Ago. Okay, and so we were focusing in on some fantastic stories in Acts. We kind of went through that for about 6 weeks or so, gave it a bit of a break during the Christmas and holiday season, and we will be going back into it again to pick up some more stories. Well, that was quite intentional. Intentional as we looked at the book of Acts, about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and also make disciples of Jesus. And we had a particular emphasis on that through that particular series. And when we think about this as to what we talk about with regard to discipleship or making disciples, it just doesn't mean one particular aspect of the Christian journey. And we're going to be talking about that and looking at that a little bit later on. So the question we're going to ask is, if you make Lismore Baptist Church your home and you are part of the worship and the fellowship and the community here, what does it mean to be a disciple? Does it mean that what's happened is you came to faith and now it's just a matter of just working things out as you go along? Or is a disciple someone who's continuing to grow? Now, I would hope that if I asked for a response, you'd all say, yeah, we would hope that we would continue to grow in faith and in maturity, that we would never remain static. We'll continue to look for ways to continue to grow in a deeper relationship with God, His understanding of His Word, our reliance on the Holy Spirit, stepping out in faith and taking risks as God leads and guide us. And I would hope that would be the general opinion of our church, that we would... thank you. Yeah, I wasn't going to ask, but now let's do it now. Yeah. Who wants to continue to be a disciple of Jesus? Yeah, that's what I was hoping for. Okay. Now, in all of this, we're not just called just to be a disciple, but to also be involved in the process of making other disciples. Now, obviously for us, we're totally reliant on God's Spirit and the leading therein in all of that in making disciples. So it's not us of our own power and volition to make disciples. But it's important for us to be open to ways in which God can use us in order to make disciples. So are we open to leading others? It could be formally, it could be through programs or groups that we join as part of the church and we rely on one another, or it could simply be informally where we are connecting with our neighbours, we're connecting with our work colleagues and the like. Now, I probably should, now that we've asked for a response for who wants to be it, are you open to being involved in God's plan to make disciples? Yes? Oh, I'm going to sign you up right now. Right now. No, it's not going to be like that. But I want you to consider what God may be saying to you here this morning. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to a passage that we kind of used as a foundational passage through our Acts Go series. And strangely enough, it's not in Acts. It's actually in Matthew 28, verses 18 through to 20. Now, some of you people, I think we mentioned this week after week after week. Some of you could probably close your eyes and recite it. But I'm going to read it again because I believe that this being the commission that Jesus gave to his original disciples just before he ascended into heaven, was really what laid the platform for beginning of the early church. And if we are the continuation of that, we still are the church, we are still under that commission, this relates to us just as much as it did to the initial disciples. So we read this in verses 18 through to 20. Jesus came to them and said, now this is just as he was about to ascend back into heaven, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We haven't come to the end of the age yet, have we? We're still in this time. And so he is with us, seeking to lead us in this commission. Not only for us as for being disciples, but also making other disciples. Right at the very beginning. So what does that mean? Well, I'll lead you back to another passage in Acts that I think kind of helps solidify some of this. And so we'll go back into Acts 1, which actually happened when Jesus was with his disciples before he ascended up into heaven. So after Jesus' resurrection, he shared with his disciples. And these are the words in Acts 1, verses 6 through to 8. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you can follow along. It's up here on the screen. "They gathered around him," that's Jesus, "and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' The disciples thought that there was going to be a physical kingdom that Jesus was instituting. But Jesus said to them, he said, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" In a way, he's describing what it means to be a disciple. And there's a few key points, and I mentioned this a number of weeks ago, but I'm just going to come back to this again just to give us another perspective as well. As we can see in this passage here, there's a number of things that I believe Jesus wants us to focus on. And the first one is this: if we are involved in the mission of God, not only to be disciples, but to also make disciples, the good news is we don't do it in our own power. We don't. Now, that's good news, isn't it? Because my own power is not much, and I can't speak on behalf of you, but we probably haven't got much to show for ourselves with our own power. But he says it's not our power, but it is power that comes from the Holy Spirit that was to come very soon on that day of Pentecost and is with us right now. And for those of you here amongst us who are followers of Jesus, you are fully equipped with the Holy Spirit of God within you. Doesn't matter how intellectual you are, doesn't matter how influential you are, doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank, at any of this, the Holy Spirit is resident within you and gives you the power that you will require if you undertake the mission of God as we make disciples. And I think he makes it quite clear as he looks at this passage here that this power is not for our own benefit. It's not so that we can do amazing things necessarily of our own accord or for our own benefit, but it's here to be witnesses. To be witnesses for Christ. And essentially, making disciples involves being witnesses. So what does that mean? It means be an example. It means spending time with, being ready to explain or ready to talk about what Jesus has done, and certainly to be praying for other people. And I think one of the beautiful things about this particular passage is it talks about it on a number of different levels. And really what Jesus was saying to them, he sort of talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says in Jerusalem, in your hometown, in the place where you live, in the place where you go, where you're going from and coming to. In Judea, that's the countryside, people round about us, people from other towns, people from other areas. Samaria, the Samaritans were the hated people. They were the outcasts. They were the people that the Jews didn't normally associate with. Going into those places where people don't normally get contacted by people like us. And of course, he says, to the ends of the earth. And we can see that as the outworking of the gospel of Jesus Christ is present in virtually every country around the world here 2,000 years later and going in an amazing way. So what does it mean to be a disciple? I want to look now at Matthew chapter 4. Once again, if you've got your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. And this is Jesus very early on in his ministry. So we've talked about Jesus as he's about to ascend into heaven and commission his disciples. This is the very start of his ministry as he calls these first disciples. And we read this, Matthew 4, 18 through to 20. We read, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, it doesn't go into a lot of other detail, but I'm sure that as Matthew was making this account here, he was talking about the most important aspects of what it meant for Simon and for Andrew as they considered following Jesus. We notice here that Jesus didn't, you know, pray over them or, you know, give them the sinner's prayer and say, pray this and you need to admit that you're a sinner and believe this and whatever. He didn't ask for a prayer of commitment. He didn't ask for, you know, what you actually believe and I want to make sure that we're aligned in all of this. He didn't ask to sign up to become a member of his movement or anything. He simply said, come, follow me. Now, I think that this suggests a number of things. And the first thing is this, that if we are on as disciples, like these first disciples, being following means that we're on a journey. We're on a journey with Christ. And it can take us in all sorts of amazing places. And I'm sure that there's plenty of folk here who have been with Jesus for many, many years. And you can testify to the journey you've been on, not so much physically, but the spiritual journeys, the journey of growth, the journey of challenges, the journey also of disappointments, the journeys of questions, but nonetheless, a journey with Jesus. The good thing is it's primarily a relational journey. It's a journey with him. He doesn't send us out on his own and say, work it out as you go along, you know, post me a note if you get stuck. He says, I'm with you always. The good thing about this is it's a dynamic journey, a dynamic relationship. It's not static. So this is, I believe, where we are. We've been called just like the original disciples, where Jesus says, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of people. I want you to be involved in the mission of Christ. Now, that can be quite overwhelming. It can be quite confusing. Where do I start? Who's he calling me to? Where do I go? What's my next step? I'm sure for all of us, we've had these times where we go, okay, I'll agree with that. But what's the next thing that I need to do? Now, I'm going to share a little story with you. And we're going to have a number of stories today. So I've got a number of people who are going to be coming up and sharing some stories of discipleship because I think we resonate with stories. Now, I think one of the reasons why we resonate in stories is because the Bible is full of stories. Stories of people who were touched by God and called into his mission. And in the same way, it's great when we hear stories ourselves from people we know and mix with every day. So we're going to be hearing some stories. Many of you would be aware that back in the 1990s, and I've probably told you this story too many times, but Angie and I were involved in music ministry to high school students around Australia. And we did that for 10 years throughout all of the 1990s, 1990 through to 1999. Now, we kind of worked it out as we went along, but we just felt compelled, I guess, convinced that God had called us to do this high school ministry. And what we'd do is we'd go around to various towns all around Australia. We'd make ourselves available to local churches. Back in those days, I know you find it hard to believe right now, but Christian groups were allowed to go into schools and present the gospel back then. Now, it was one of those privileged opportunities to go and share the gospel in schools. And what we would do is we would invite these students, when we did a presentation, our music and testimony, we'd invite them along to a public concert on a Friday night. And so a bit of a mixed bag sometimes, but quite often we'd have a number of young people, sometimes invited along by their youth group friends or whatever, to come along to a concert on the Friday night. Now, this is where the tension remained, is I felt that I had a responsibility that if we were doing this music ministry, I had to lead as many people as I could to Christ on that night. Because God had brought them there, I needed to get them over the line. You know what I'm saying? And for some of you who have been around for a long while, you know, yeah, once you run one of these public meetings, you've got to make that altar call. And I must admit, I was quite disappointed early on when you'd go into this great big effort of prayer and everything like that. You might get one or two come forward. The others would just go away. And you'd go, well, is that the success of my ministry? And you know, one of the dangers, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but the danger is when you've got a certain amount of influence up on a platform, you can use certain methods to convince people that they need to come forward. So I'd work different techniques and methods to convince people to come forward. You know, you might get a free CD if you come forward. I don't think I went to that extreme, but you know what I'm saying? Because I believe that the success of our ministry was based on how many people had put their hand up and said, I want to become a Christian. Now, I'm embarrassed to a certain extent to say this because I think there was a lot of young people who came forward who had absolutely no idea what I was talking about, but because their friend went forward or because I talked long enough, they probably said, well, if I go forward, John will probably shut up. You know, something like that. Now, it was only after we'd been going for a few years, I came across this thing called the Engel scale. Now, it's here as a handout. They've given you this handout and it's on the inside pages there. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that this is not the key to the gospel. This is not the program. This is not what you have to undertake. This doesn't answer every single question. It is simply something, a resource that I was given that helped me to reframe what it meant to make disciples. Okay? Now, the whole purpose of this, there's some information at the bottom of this scale to explain this to you. But in essence, it's this. As you can see, the Engel scale is 15 steps, starting from the bottom and going up from step 1 through to step 15. Okay? What this scale suggests, developed by James Engel in 1986, or he actually had an early version of it in 1975, was that everybody starts their journey somewhere on that scale. Now, I'd say most of them start their journey somewhere between 1 and 9, depending upon your upbringing. There are some people who have absolutely no awareness of God whatsoever in their life. Now, that probably wouldn't have happened 50 years ago in Australia, but it's certainly happening today within our culture. People have absolutely no awareness. There are some people who have some awareness. You know, they may just have some inkling. They may have read a book or touched the Bible or something. Other people may have had some contact with Christians and that's their starting point. Others have an interest in Jesus Christ. And you can see here a number of steps from here on in, deciding to investigate Jesus, grasping the truth about Jesus, understanding the implications of the gospel, acceptance of the Christian truth, accepting the implications of the gospel. And step number 10 is the decision. Is the point at which this person would surrender to Jesus Christ. Now, what they're saying is that the people we come in contact with who are not followers of Jesus would be somewhere between 1 and 9. Does that make sense? Now, the problem is that sometimes we think that for us to make disciples, we've got to take somebody, let's say, at point number 2, and we've got to get them to point number 10, this afternoon in my conversation that I have with them. Now, look, it may happen. And in all of this, I'm not sort of saying that God is limited to these steps, but it's a helpful framework to understand that sometimes God wants us to be involved in someone's life to guide them from some point, maybe 2, to maybe 0.5, for example. Let me challenge you, and for some of you who have been Christians for a while, think about where you started. You may have started in a Christian home, so you might have started at, say, point number three. I would say that it would be very, very unusual if one person led you all the way from point number three up to past point number 10. More often than not, now I'm not sort of saying that's the case in every situation, more often than not, God will lead us into someone's life and we will be led to a certain point. God will lead someone else in to lead us a certain point. There will be someone else who will lead us to Christ, and then there will be others who will lead us, as you can see here, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, as we grow as followers of Jesus. Does that make sense? And I'm sure that if it's happened in your life, where there's different people have been involved in different aspects of your life as you've come to journey through this, that you in your same way, God will lead you to someone who you've got the opportunity to take from some point to another point. Now, can I suggest, now like I sort of said, I'm not going to say that this is the tool and the only tool that we're going to use this year or whatever. It's just a way that we can frame it. Because I tell you what, I've found going back to this from time and time again, as I'm seeking to connect and lead somebody in faith. Think about where you started off. Where did you start off in your journey? For some of you, it may have been in a Christian home, so I could imagine possibly around about point number three or something like that. Some of you may have come from a totally non-Christian background, so you could have numbers starting at number one or two, for example. Does that make sense? Here's the next question. Where would you put yourself right now? Now, the good thing about it is on the handout that I've given you, you can see there's some space to write some things down. So maybe just jot down, I'm not expecting you to do it right now, take it home and have a think about it or whatever. Where did you start out? Where are you right now? Who did God bring into your life to help you through those steps? Who led you to Christ? Or who was around you when you came to Christ? Who helped you answer some of these questions through 3, 4, 5 and 6? And who was involved and ready for you for point 11, 12 and 13? Thank God for those people, that they were, you know, they were obedient to God's prompting. That's your journey. What about the people that God is leading you to right now? Now, I'm not expecting you to jot down a name straight away. But who, over this next few days or whatever, who, God, are you leading me to help journey along in these steps towards Christ? Where are they on this journey? Now, one of the things in all of this is, this here is not to absolve any responsibility we have to lead somebody to Christ. If God calls us to lead to Christ, we've got to be ready for that. But sometimes someone at point number two is just not ready for that. They want to gain confidence in somebody, a safe place where they can ask questions, a place where they can develop a relationship with a Christian without any sense of condemnation. Some people might sit in those points for a while. Other times, some people might skip through them quite quickly. You might have someone within a week go from, you know, point number three to point number 10. Who knows? That's God's business. Who is God leading you to? And can I suggest that if you see situations like this, I believe that anywhere along this spectrum is discipleship. Simply from Jesus saying to the first disciples, come follow me. Come with me on a journey. Come on a journey as we seek to discover a little bit more about who Jesus is and what he has for you. Now, I'm just going to let that sit there for a moment. I'd encourage you to hold on to this, take it home, think about it, and jot a name on. I'm not going to come and ask you to submit your papers so that I can mark them and assess your work. This is purely for yourself to consider what God may be saying to you. Over the next few weeks and at different times throughout the year, we'll come and revisit this. And you know what? I'd love to hear some stories of what God has been doing as we journey with other people. Now, very soon I'm going to invite some people up, but I'm just going to let you know, if you're got the handout in front of you, turn to the back page, and here's the word of warning. This is not really effective without prayer, and I don't think I need to explain that or emphasize that any more than what I've already said. If we're going to undertake a desire to lead people individually, whether it's formally within church programs or informally within our day-to-day rhythms of life, we need to be bathing this in prayer. Now, we're going to offer a suggestion starting this Wednesday at 7:30 a.m., I don't know how 7:30 a.m. works for you, 7:30 a.m. until 8 a.m. sharp, I nearly said p.m., that would be a long time, wouldn't it? 8 a.m. sharp, half an hour sharp, we've set up a Zoom meeting. Now, I know some of you go, oh, Zoom, I thought we were over that. Oh, by the way, welcome to anybody who's on Zoom this morning. We've got a few on Zoom this morning, have we? Got a few? Zoom's great, isn't it? If it works for you, 7:30 to 8 a.m., we'll send you some reminders. And we're just going to, the intention of all of that is to gather together for half an hour just to pray into this. Pray for the people on our list. Pray that we would be equipped. Pray for each other as we continue to grow as disciples and also as we seek to lead others in discipleship. For half an hour, 7:30 to 8 a.m. each Wednesday morning, Zoom, bang, send you the invitation. Now, if that doesn't work for you, and I understand it, you know, it doesn't always work, we have giving you the opportunity to start your own prayer group. Okay, if you've got a particular setting, maybe just with one or two of you just to gather together and just pray for each other as we continue to seek to grow as disciples, but also to make disciples. Let us know if you plan to start up a group, just so we can encourage others to join. So there's just that information on the back. I'll let that just sit and brew for a while. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite just a few people up just to share, and I've prepared these people for this, what it means to make disciples. Now, this first person is no stranger to all. Rhonda Lacey oversees our growth groups, and Rhonda's very passionate about that ministry, and she's certainly going to be, well, I don't want to assume I know what you're going to be saying, but I'm going to get you to share a little bit about what that means for you. Thank you, Rhonda. How about we show our appreciation to Rhonda?
Thank you. It's very interesting what you've said this morning, because I've already written down what I would say, and you've stolen my thunder.
No, you're reinforcing what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
That's it. We don't steal thunder around here. No.
Okay, first of all, you've mentioned that I am the coordinator for growth groups. That is my passion, and I'm very excited for what we're going to be doing this year. There's always updates on the notice board, so I don't know if you even know there's a notice board, but I try and keep that updated. And but if you want to know anything about growth groups, please contact me. I'd love to talk to you about it. Having said that, John contacted me and asked me to speak about discipleship. When I think about the word discipleship, the first thing that comes to mind is Jesus calls his disciples and he simply says, come and follow me. Don't look back, don't think about your old life. You only need to trust me. He then spends 3 years in fellowship with them, teaching them who he was and all that was important, teaching them how to be disciples by example. They shared their everyday life with him. They knew him. Also, after his resurrection, Jesus appears to the downhearted disciples on the road to Emmaus. He walked and talked with them. I love this image of Jesus in our everydayness, simply walking alongside us. For us, it's this everydayness of coming alongside others and sharing who he is. This can be with or without words. How can we grow in our discipleship? We need each other. To me, this is what our growth groups are all about, and why I'm passionate about our small home study groups. For me, this was where I first understood the blessing of being a part of the body of Christ in a personal setting where I could express my doubts, fears, to pray, learn, laugh, and even cry together. In fellowship and growing in faith, sharing my Christian journey with others, learning what being a disciple looks like. I don't go on about growth groups because I'm the coordinator. It's because I long for everyone to experience the joy of growing more and more in love with Jesus and being able to share. Being able to share your journey with others. On a personal note, I've been a believer in Jesus for 30-odd years now. It hasn't all been smooth sailing, far from it. I've had times in the wilderness, times when I felt so alone it hurt. I've also had times of pure joy in just being with God. I'm thankful for all those who have walked with me and guided me and sharing in my journey. The blessing is we don't do it alone. He knows us completely. He wants us to know him fully. He is with us and he gives us each other to help us in our faith journey. James 4 verse 8a says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." He has given us this same simple call, "Come follow me, come spend time with me, don't look back." Just as for his first disciples, Jesus wants us to know him, to love him, and to share that love with others. What an amazing God who wants to know us personally. He wants that personal relationship with you and with me. And I'm excited for what God has for us this year.
Bless you. Thank you, Rhonda. Let's show our appreciation. I know Rhonda didn't get up here as the coordinator of growth groups, but you can see that why she does it is more than just a job or a duty to be done, but Rhonda's just got a passion for it. Let's put in the plug. If you'd like to join a growth group, see Rhonda. thank you, Rhonda. The next person I'd like to get to share is someone you've probably a familiar face up the front here, at least while I was on holidays. I'm going to invite Paul to come up. Now, Janet, would you like to join him, or are you just going to stay where you... No, you... That's okay. This is Janet, Paul's lovely wife. Now, Paul's been with us for a little while now, but God's been doing some things with Paul, and Paul's going to share a little bit about where God's leading him, and this, once again, tapping into this whole area of discipleship. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, John. Look, a few years ago, I did a sermon, and I came dressed up like Dracula, and I asked the audience, "What did that communicate to you?" And the idea was, I'm one of those Christians that I'm just here for the blood. Do you get the idea? Some of us think that being saved is as far as we go with Christianity. This idea of discipleship is another step. And a lot of us as Christians may not choose to make that step, but it's an important step. And the Bible tells us to go make disciples. For myself, just very quickly, in recent years, the last decade or so, I've wanted to communicate the gospel, but I've really felt that I wasn't getting through. I wasn't talking in a way that was reaching the people that that I wanted to hear the gospel. So for me, it's been a time of doing study and learning how to be a better communicator. And it's been a wonderful time because it's meant that I've challenged things that I've told. I've taken my faith and made it my own. I've taken ownership, I suppose. And I think that's what discipleship is. It's becoming so comfortable in your faith that you're then comfortable to step out and share it with others. So where that's led me And Janet gets no choice. You get dragged along, don't you, honey? But we've, in the last couple of years, we've started meeting with people that really want to own their faith too and helping them on their journey. And we're finding that very rewarding. The other part is when you do own your faith, you want to then go the step further and let people that have no idea about Jesus to talk to them in a way that they can understand and invite them to consider Jesus. Because nowadays there's so many different options, isn't there? There's so many distractions. And we're also noticing that the story of the Bible isn't known by people. So at the moment we're investigating new ways to reach people and just tell them the story. Tell them the story as a story, whether they are believers or not, for them to decide and see the value in that. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will then work in their lives and bring them to a place. I think I saw a diagram there. Take them to the next step on a journey that will lead them to faith. So we're very excited about how God's using us and where we're going. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Paul. We are hopeful over, you know, weeks and months. We'll continue to update with people like Paul as he's Paul and Janet are looking at these opportunities to connect with people outside of the four walls of this building, connecting with people to tell the stories of Jesus. Now, someone else, this next person I'm going to invite may not be as familiar, but it's a dear friend of myself and a number of others within the church here, and that's Del Hove. And I notice Rhonda, you're here as well. Hello, Rhonda. You're going to stay where you are. You're going to stand right there. Stay right there and let Del Hove, unleash Del Hove on us. Now, how about we show our appreciation to Del Hove? Del Hove's been here a few times, but he's going to tell us a little bit of story about your journey as well. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm an introvert, and so sometimes when I'm talking to a group of people like this who I don't know very well, I just get brain freeze, and I stop talking altogether. So if that happens, don't worry about it, you know. What I want to share with you today is something that God's been talking to me about for a long time, and it's actually this process of that John talked about up there. It's disciples making disciples, and I was sharing this with a friend recently, and I was saying, you know, like I just keep on coming back to the same point that at its core, the Christian life is about disciples making disciples. And I was saying this to this friend of mine, and he was saying, you know, Del Hove, it looks to me like you're trying to do that in your own strength. That's what he said to me. And it's interesting what John talked about earlier, you know, like how we're often approaching our friends, or maybe it's an evangelistic event, and we think, oh, it's my job to convert this person, you know, and that's what stresses us out, and we forget, you know, that he's actually given us the Holy Spirit, the power from above, you know. So I think I've fallen into this trap in the past of feeling responsible for the conversion of people. But what actually is God asking us to do? What actually is our responsibility when he says, go and make disciples? And I think it is sowing the word. I think that's what it is. It's not actually converting people. It's not transforming people. It's just being faithful in sowing the word. Like, we sow the word, but it's God that makes the plant grow, isn't it? It's God that turns that seed into a plant, and that's the miracle, like just like it is with a miracle of a plant. And so why do we take responsibility for something which is impossible for us to do? But our responsibility is just to sow the word. Just to sow the word. And the way that I've been doing that this year is I've just been asking my non-Christian friends to read the Bible with me. That's all. I've said to them, hey, I've made a New Year's resolution that I want to read the Bible with my friends. Are you interested? That's all I say. I just go up to them and I say that. So far, I've only done that to two people, but both of them said yes. You know, yes, I'll read the Bible with you. And when we do that, it does feel a bit weird at first. Like these friends who aren't Christians, they've probably never opened up the Bible with someone else before. So it does feel a bit strange, but very, very quickly it becomes normal. And I'm careful when I sit down with my friends to not be the guru, to not have all the answers. Like I want us both to kind of come to the Bible and for God to talk to us through that. So what we do, practically speaking, is we simply just we read the passage out aloud twice, and then we close the Bible up, and we try to remember what the story is. We retell each other the Bible story from memory, and so I would just sort of say, oh well, how does this story start? And then my friend would say, well, it starts like this, I think. And then we'll just bounce off each other and we'll get the full story out. You know, where am I up to? After we do that, we have a five-minute time of personal, quiet reflection. And then we come back and we just answer these two questions. We speak about these two things to each other. What is God saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? What is God saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? You know, my friends, these two that I've met with so far, they don't always come up with the answer I expect. You know, a month ago, I was looking at this story of Jesus healing the paralytic. And you know the story where Jesus says, rather than actually healing the guy, he actually says, your sins are forgiven. And the reason why I chose that story to read with my friends, because I was hoping that my friend would say that I'm a sinner, you know, and I need to I need forgiveness. But when we were talking about, you know, what is God saying to you through this passage, my friend actually said, I need to love myself more. You know, that's what his conclusion was from that. And I thought, like, what I wanted to say to him was, well, how did you come to that conclusion? You know, that's not really there in that passage. But you know, about halfway through our time together, my friend actually paused and he looked at me and he said to me, you know, Delhove, I'm really enjoying this. I'm really enjoying, you know, opening up the Bible and talking about it. And then at the end of that time together, he said, you know, I think there's more to this forgiveness of sins thing than I'd thought about before. And I need to give it some more thought. That's all. And we just left it at that. And like John was saying before, this friend, he's right down the bottom of the Engel scale. He's never even thought about forgiveness of sins. He doesn't even think that he's a sinner yet. But it's just at the start of his journey.
Thanks, Delhove. Look, we're thrilled to be exploring this journey with Delhove and Rhonda. They're in the Byron Shire. They're looking at the opportunities that God may have for ministry over there, and we're looking at ways in which we can support, encourage, and partner with Delhove and Rhonda over in the Byron Shire. Just like for Paul and Janet down in the Tintin Bar, Lennox Head area, it seems like God is raising up within us as Lismore Baptist Church an opportunity to partner and connect with churches. Just like in, as Jesus said to the disciples, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, from Lismore out into the Northern Rivers area. I'd encourage you to have a chat with both Paul and Delhove, and give them some encouragement as well. Look, one of the things that came to me was that when we start to reframe discipleship as a journey that we're on, it's really quite freeing. And for me, in the ministry of Corazon, doing high school ministry, very soon on, if we go back to that previous slide, we realised that most of the people that we were connecting to, thanks, Laura, were down in the, number 1, 2, and 3, etc. And our aim then was to see ways that we can, in the short period of time we had in connecting with these high school students, to give them an awareness of, interest in Jesus Christ, making a decision to investigate Jesus. And that was all it was. And, there were many, many years that we operated where we didn't hear boo about that, and sometimes we wondered about the effectiveness. Was it worth it? One of the interesting things is sometimes 10, 15, now this was back in the 1990s, even as recently as only a few years ago, we got contact from people who said, I made a decision to investigate further Jesus when I was at your concert. I didn't tell anyone about it, but I connected with some other people. I'm now a Christian. I now belong to this church. We've even had a couple who said, I'm now in full-time ministry as well. And we had no idea about that, but our involvement was just connecting with people where they're at and seeking to lead them on the journey of discovery. I think that God's got some people there for you to connect with in a similar way to encourage them in a journey of discovery of Jesus. I'm now going to hand over to Steve, who's now going to take over from me and lead another aspect of this presentation this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Yeah. Who's been encouraged by the stories? So good, isn't it? God is at work. I've got a couple more stories for you now and some people that are going to encourage you with those stories. Josh and Donna, come on down. If you come up together, then, you can be kind of moral support for each other. So these guys, I'm just so thankful that they're willing to share, because they're like me. They feel like they're kind of ordinary people in all of this big task, this big mission that God's called us on, and yet God is still at work. So come and stand up here so everyone can look at you like I know you really want them to. And everyone, just give them a little welcome. Yeah. I'm so appreciative, guys. Now, is it okay? Can we use another microphone or should we hand this? Yeah, do you want to grab the red one, Josh? Now, one of the things is, as a church, we just want to do whatever we can to encourage each other on this journey, don't we? And there's no silver bullet here. We just got to try things, right? Now, one of the things we tried last year, just to encourage families and children, was that Sunday night kind of young families gathering. I'm not going to talk a lot about that now, but Josh was a part of that with his family. And he just has a story that tells us something about discipleship there. Do you want to share it with us, Josh?
Yeah, right. Hello, everybody. So, as some of you may notice, I've got a few children. And an important, what I think is a very important part of my life at the moment, is, especially in regards to discipleship, is working with them, encouraging them on the path to becoming disciples of Jesus. So I was quite excited by Steve and John's idea to have an evening service with the kids involved. It may have been a little bit chaotic. And
just a little.
A little bit more work. But, yeah, I thought it was a good idea. And this is a story which a few of you might have heard, happened last year, that came out of that, I think, that I found encouraging. So one part of the evening service was, Well, we'd look at one small passage of the Bible, and then at the end, Steve normally would ask everyone to come up with a way of using that passage, a way that they thought God would want them to use that passage in the week ahead. And it was a little bit frustrating for me that my kids would consistently say one thing and one thing only, and that was be kind to people. In and of itself, a good idea, but when you've got 4 weeks in a row with four different passages and you've got five kids all saying exactly the same thing, it didn't feel to me like they were getting much out of it. But then a really cool thing happened while I was at work one day. A neighbour came by, or neighbour we hadn't met before, lived a few houses down, and she needed some help, some physical help. She was also lonely. And without being prompted that much, I understand, my kids offered her help and sat and chat with her for quite a while, I think. So next week, she came back. Kids went and whatever it was she needed help with. Again, I was at work. The kids did it all, and I didn't really understand how significant that was. I just thought, oh, that's nice. They did good for once. So God had to remind me of what it was that had really happened, and it came through a very unlikely event. A couple of weeks later, we'd gone to plant a whole lot of fruit trees. Something came up. We couldn't go to the orchard. We had three holes dug, fertilized, no trees. And this lady came by with two fruit trees that afternoon as a thank you to our kids. Now, not only that, we had a short list of maybe five trees that we wanted. These two trees matched that list. It was hardly a coincidence, and that's when I finally twigged that it wasn't a coincidence either, that we'd been focusing with our kids on God's word and how to apply it in our lives. And God gave them the opportunity, not me, God gave them the opportunity to do the one thing that they'd identified that they could do, which was to be kind to people. And I felt very privileged, very blessed that God gave me that extra reminder that when we focus on his word, he gives us the opportunity to live it out. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Josh. It's good, isn't it? Like, we love to see our children growing up into Christ, don't we? And simple things like this, but I love hearing stories like that because it's that movement from, you know, the kids aren't just recipients of our lessons, they're living faith and hearing stories of how they are stepping into that and God being at work. Thanks, Josh. Now, John, Donna here, I'm just going to introduce one of the other strategies or things that we're just giving a go in our church. Some of you would have heard us talk about BDC or building a discipling culture. And I'm going to talk more about this some other time. I'm not going to talk a lot about it now. But there's a small group of us that have signed up to be kind of coached in this process of just, it's not rocket science, but it's just trying to be intentional about being disciples and making disciples. And there's a whole bunch of simple ways that just encourage us in that. And one of the reasons I'm telling you this is because over the course of the year, I'm hoping there'll be opportunities to invite more people to be a part of this thing. And so if you're interested, if you want to kind of try something, talk to John or myself about, or anyone else in the group, about that, because there will be opportunities. Anyway, when we were first looking at this opportunity, I had a chat with Donna about would she like to be involved. And Donna, I'm going to just hand over to you now. And how did that go for you?
I wasn't so willing, and I'm still not sure where I'm at in this group. It's not been running for too long, but Steve's quite persistent.
Oh, come on.
So Yeah, look, I lack confidence in sharing Jesus with others. I know I'm saved. I know through his grace I'm where I am. However, I lack that confidence. And this group, Steve, has told me, well, over the time we're doing this, it will give me the tools I need to help to be able to do that confidently. So I said no to Steve quite a few times.
Oh, you did not.
well, I kept saying, leave it with me. Like, yeah, I wasn't ready. And I kept saying no in here all the time. But anyway, after much talking with him, it just nagged at me and I just thought, well...
I nagged at you?
No, it nagged at me. So in the end, I just thought, well, as Christians, we're called to do this. I don't know how to do it. I'll just take a step in obedience and have a go and see where God leads me. And I am scared and nervous about it because I'm not as confident as other people. As I learn more, it's going to make me more accountable, which is hard to, at this point, for me to grasp. But I just trust that God will lead me the way that I'm meant to be led if I just trust in him.
Hey. Yeah. I reckon Donna's a legend. And the reason is because I actually think this is where the action is. Whatever happens with this BDC thing, but that willingness to go, I think God is nudging me in this direction. I'm a bit scared, but I'm going to do it anyway because I just want to trust and grow. And I just think God's going to honour that whatever happens. Would you agree? So encouraging. Thank you. Okay, you guys can hop down if you want to. Last story, quick one from me. So one of the things that we have been encouraged to do to grow as disciples is to share our faith in this BDC thing. And they talk about, very similar to what Delhove was describing, they say, you know, sharing your faith, it's not about just trying to force something onto people that they don't want. It's about starting with relationships and making sure that as Christians we've got time in our lives for people that aren't believers, not just so busy with Christians all the time, although we need those friendships as well. But then looking for where God's at work, where is there some kind of spiritual responsiveness, and then just being brave and willing to get involved in that. And then not by downloading necessarily a whole gospel outline, but maybe inviting people to read the Bible with us. So that's the background, and Delhove explained it well. So my experience of this, you know, you'd think as a pastor I'm sharing faith all the time, but I can really get caught up in that thing of spending my whole life with Christians, right? As much as I love Christians, what about others? And anyway, this guy, I'm going to call him Alan, not his real name. I met him through a mutual friend, and I've been thinking about this business of sharing faith and whatever. We'd been helping a mutual friend move. And I was giving this guy, Alan, a lift home. It was about a bit over an hour in the car together. And Erica was there too. And so we're driving along. And I thought, well, I know that this guy runs yoga retreats. And he's a lovely guy, by the way. And I thought, I'm interested in that. So I asked him about it. You know, tell me about your yoga retreats. Is it just something you do? Is it the exercise? Are you interested in the philosophy or the spiritual side of it? Is that part of it? Or what is it for you? And he talked about this. It was very interesting. And that took up most of the trip. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm happy to leave it at that. You know, that's good. But then, you know, we're getting closer to our homes. We're both in Suffolk Park. And he said, oh, look, just... can you tell me about your work? Because he was aware that I'm a pastor. And he's, you know, and he asked me similar questions that I'd been asking him. Why you do it and so on. And that gave me an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Right? Fantastic. And I'm thinking, thank you, God. I'm happy to leave it at that. But then just as we're pulling up, he's about to get out of the car, Alan says, oh, look, just can I ask you one more thing? And he says, look, I've often wondered how Jesus fits into things. Do you have any recommendations of something I could read? And I'm thinking, Well, I didn't just think. I said, yeah, I got loads of things you could read, but and I'll give you a couple if you want. But what I reckon is the best is to have a conversation. You wouldn't be interested in reading the Bible with me, would you? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. And look, I'll be honest now, that was before Christmas. We've done it once. But then I was in lockdown, and then he was in lockdown, and then Lismore was in, you know. But we've kept in touch, and we're building our relationship. He's a great guy. Honestly, I'm just enjoying this guy as well. He's one of the loveliest people I know. But it's just this reminder, isn't it? God is at work. And if we're, it's not about trying to force things, but if we, if we've actually got eyes open to what he's doing, if we, and if we want to see it, the opportunities I'm discovering and others, they are there. They are there. We just need to be willing to join him in what he's doing. So I hope you've been encouraged today by these stories. We want to continue to encourage each other. And obviously one of the main ways we do that is not by just trying to do stuff out there with other people, but it's about our own heart and who we are with him, and it flows out of that, doesn't it? So we remember Jesus in all kinds of ways, but what's one of our special ways that we do it? It's through communion, isn't it? Where we eat and we drink together and we remember the one whose love and whose power is behind it all and who motivates us into this, and the one whose grace and love changes everything. It's Jesus, isn't it? So let's come into our time of communion now and remember him and what he means and the power he gives us through his Spirit. So, as usual, we've got our three different locations, so you can go to whichever's closest to you. Take a cup with the biscuit and with the juice. You can come and collect it and take it back. You can then eat the biscuit as you reflect, and then hold on to the juice, and in a moment after that, I will pray so that we can drink together as one. So just reading from Matthew, we've been in Matthew a little bit today. This is Jesus with his closest followers shortly before his death. And while they're eating, Jesus takes bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." So let's join in communion now. Take and eat and remember.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
And then Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let me pray. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father, once again, we come before you with thankful hearts. Lord, give us that growing understanding of your love and your grace in Jesus. And shape us by your Spirit. Help us to grow more and more into the people that you call us to be. For your sake we pray. Amen. Let's drink together. So good. Well, that brings us to our final song this morning. Let me say, those stories, I'm aware that there are many, many other stories in our church community. And there will be as we prayerfully seek God this year. So John and I have been talking about this, and we want the opportunity to continue. So if you've got a story where you've seen God at work or where you've noticed, doesn't have to be an amazing big thing. Maybe it is. Could just be a little thing. Anything. Let us know. And we'll look for those opportunities to share the stories because they encourage us on, don't they? So stay tuned for more stories this year. Thanks.